V is for variety.
News, weather, sports, and talk. Bluegrass, country, folk, and southern rock.
Just like the weather in Kentucky. If you don't like us, wait a little while.
It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. This is Dave Falder along with Ken Simon, and is glad to be back here on the PCSN set of WSKV. Got a lot to talk about tonight. First, let's delve into those COVID numbers, which are getting better statewide, but we'll talk about the state and local as we go.
We will start locally here first in Powell County, and we normally go back to the weekend totals. So we'll go back to April the 10th. There were four cases on that Saturday. On Sunday the 11th, there were three cases. Monday the 12th, there were two cases. At that point, there were 47 active cases in the county. 12 additional individuals had met the criteria for recovery. And then when we go to the 13th yesterday, there were 19 additional individuals that met the criteria for recovery, six new cases. So that brought the total active cases to 34. And then today, the numbers, let me find it here. Today, the numbers, two new cases, two additional individuals met the criteria for recovery. So the total active cases as of today in Powell County, 34. That brings the total case count to 1,149. 1,103 have recovered. There were 12 deaths. That actually brings Powell County to a 32.4%. We are in the red. And unfortunately, around us, everybody's going back to yellow, orange, and red. Powell is red, Wolf is red, Morgan and Bath are all red. And then you look at Clark, Montgomery, Menifee, they are orange. And then Madison, Estill, Lee are yellow. And then Breathitt is green. Breathitt and Knott, the lone green counties here in east, central, and eastern Kentucky. But again, a 32.4 mark, those numbers are high, and then I'll give you state totals here real quick. This is today's numbers. New cases, 782 total cases today, 14 unfortunate deaths. That brings the total case count in Kentucky, 434,922. The positivity rate, just lost it. Positivity rate is 3.33%.
So the positivity rate is an uptick for Kentucky.
Yes.
The numbers is a rather large uptick.
Yes.
For Kentucky. We have been down in what, the 200 and 300 folk range with new cases. So that's telling me that, not that necessarily we're back to another surge, but the numbers are climbing a bit. Again, these are getting close to our post-spring break numbers.
Correct,
and
yes.
I'm not blaming, the college students going on spring break, high schools, people being on spring break. We probably still have another, week to go before we really maybe see that. But we thought there would be that little spike. The colleges had spring break prior to the high schools around here. A little bit early, we kind of, at least here, were projecting a little bit of a spike as we go into the middle of April due to those spring break events and also Easter. So kind of as we expected to happen, a little bit of a numbers hit here on Kentucky, but the new news in the nation is what's kind of alarming, is with the new strains affecting more and more youth. I know youth sports is taking a big hit nationally. They're really starting to see many more cases affected through youth sports. So you wonder if they see some kind of a guidance before we keep moving on with youth sports. You know, in Kentucky, we're still saying there's been not a lot of new spread through sports, but nationally, it's an issue. So we'll kind of have to see where that goes. I know that they're talking about the new strains are more impactful to the younger folks. I'm kind of thinking, okay, that's because maybe more older people have now been vaccinated. It's got to hit someone, so that's about all that's left. I mean, there are people who haven't had the vaccines, but most teenagers and younger have not had a vaccine, which is probably why they're more susceptible at this point.
I would agree with that. And let me even go back to the incidence rate, the 32.4%. Powell is actually fifth in the state as far as that incidence number. Bracken County is 41.3, Lewis 38.7, Harlan 36.2, Bath 35.4, and then Powell 32.4, followed by Wolf at 27.9.
Well, we'll say this, though. Those numbers that you just mentioned are much better than the 128s, the 130s that we were seeing.
Absolutely.
Back in the other range. We saw a lot of folks at 60 to 80. We don't want to get back to that. But again, remember, we were at one point a lot better than this. So be careful, because this is not, we're not finished. Don't just end the race yet. Keep working on the masking. Keep the social distancing. All that is still vitally important to protect folks who have not been vaccinated, and or folks that may still get it even though they have been vaccinated. There have been cases out there like that. We do hope this vaccines last longer. They put a halt, I guess, and I guess it's up to the state, on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and they had, what, 6 cases of rare blood clots form in 6 women, and they've now halted or asked for a halt in many, many states for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. You'd think that the number 6 really isn't that many to affect to make it a pause. But again, if it's a major issue, then people need to be at least aware.
Yeah, and who knows what the underlying effects, correct, in a sense, as far as health condition that those particular people may or not have had. At the same time, I think it's a smart move just to reassess, if anything.
Bingo.
And let's figure out from there, okay, is it something within the formula, and or is it something to do with those 6 people, in a sense, maybe what was their health condition, and is there something in common between them, no matter what it might be, again, to try and figure it out. I think it's a smart move, obviously, under the circumstances.
Yeah, it's what you need to do. Again, this is people that haven't got the vaccine yet. This is probably the reason why. It's what is it going to do to us going forward? How long is it going to last? We don't have great info. We're only, what, 6 months into the vaccine? Well, not even 6 months. We're, what, a month and a half, 2 months into the vaccine phase?
Two.
So this is still rather new. We're going to be finding stuff out all year where we're going to be. But again, while we're waiting to see what happens, let's be careful and still continue. Hopefully we'll still continue the mandates for a little while longer. I do think it has helped and will continue to help. Again, you just hate to see another surge here in the spring, which was predicted the entire time. So maybe this is the beginning of the next small surge, we hope. And then after that, it'll just maybe go back down. We at least hope that's what will happen. So that being said, we're going to step away for a break here on PCSN Live. Be back in a moment. Talk sports.
Ever think about this? 83% of customers who buy from Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram buy again. The reason? Great deals, great service, and a simple way of doing business. March is Ram Truck Month, and the all-new 2021 Ram pickups are priced to sell. Come see why the Ram is the truck of the year for 2019, 2020, and 2021. Come see why Tanner is the best place to buy. Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Mountain Parkway in Stanton.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like PhoneSmart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Appalachian Wireless has a question for you. Would you rather pay $650 or $66 for a smartphone? If you think this answer is simple, then the Appalachian Advantage Plan is for you. Pay less upfront for today's hottest smartphones, and then pay just a few dollars more every month on the monthly bill. Many smartphones are $5 a month or less after you factor in the $20 discount from the Advantage Plan compared to the contract offering. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless. Payment agreement required. See store for details.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is Dave following along with Ken Simon. First, we're going to start tonight with Powell County Boys Baseball and kind of talk about how their season is going to this point.
Yeah, actually, last week when we were actually on the air, the Pirates played host to Owsley County. They won that game in three innings, winning 15-0. And then on Friday, they traveled to Estill County and ended up losing to the Engineers 9-5 was the final in that game. What was interesting about that game is that the Pirates ended up giving up four runs in the bottom of the first inning, two runs in the bottom of the second inning, and then one run in the third inning. And so for the first three innings, they ended up scoring six of those runs. But when you get yourself in a deficit early on, especially an early 4-0 lead, it's difficult to come back from that. Now, the Pirates continue to fight through. Cam Del Rosario hit a home run, had an RBI with that. Had a runner on base. At one point, it was like 6-2. So the Pirates continue to fight. The pitching for Estill County gave up quite a few walks as far as the runs that the Pirates ended up scoring as well. So not necessarily a lot of hits, but Estill County, basically on the mound, kind of showed some things, had some really good hits in a sense. The Pirates, even though they were on base, not a lot of hits to speak of, but under the circumstances, the fact that they continued to fight through, and even though they lost 9-5, still a very competitive game. I liked what I saw as far as the Pirates. We actually broadcast that on the Estill County Sports Network, myself and Matt Hall over there. So, again, both teams very well coached. They play well. Unfortunately, the Pirates just couldn't quite get things together for themselves as they ended up dropping that game. And then they go to Saturday where they travel to Fleming County. They lost 13-3. And then they follow up the game this Tuesday, yesterday, where the Pirates ended up playing at Owsley County. They won 20-2 to take the Pirates' record to 2-6 on the season. And now they have a game coming up on Friday night, where they will play host to Fleming County here at home. The game time will be at 6 o'clock. We will have that game on the air for you. Again, they lost to Fleming County last Saturday, 13-3. So let's see how the Pirates are able to come back, especially being home on Friday, to come back and see how competitive they are against Fleming County.
Yeah, real quick, I want to go back to the Estill County game. Just looking at the statistics that are on the KHSA website, you need to talk about the total pitching, the starting pitcher for Powell County. Only pitched two-thirds of an inning. Gave up the four hits, the four runs, all earned. One walk, one strikeout. But when you look at the totals, Ken, nine walks and nine strikeouts. The nine strikeout number is fine, but the nine walk number is problematic. When you look at the, again, look at Estill County's numbers, Powell County walked seven times and four hit by pitch. So really, it looks like to me both teams really kind of struggled with control, Powell and Estill. And it was Estill with the they got 10 hits, Powell County only with six. So, and again, sometimes it's succession. What you get back to back to back, putting that inning together. Again, with the number of base runners Powell County had, you probably should score more runs than what they scored with that number of base runners. So the total left on base, that's not available. But I would think Powell probably left a ton of runners. I would also think Estill probably left several on base as well. But, those are some things that, for Powell County's sake, you got to do a better job getting those key hits when you have runners in scoring position. Again, the 9-5 number, was that the final score?
Yes, correct.
That's workable. You can definitely understand, like I said, with the number of walks that are in that game, number of, and really, Estill County gave up more free passes than did Powell. And we talk about hit by pitches. That's 11 free base runners for the Pirates on top of their six hits. I mean, if you just do the math, six hits, 11 free runners, I don't know about the errors, 17 base runners in a seven-inning game, your average of getting two runners on per inning. On the flip side of that, for Estill County, 19 base runners in a seven-inning game. Obviously, they only had about six. That's three people on base per inning. Those numbers don't bode well for either side.
And that is exactly what happened. Yeah, I mean, both of them left enough runners on base, which was unfortunate, regardless of which side you're pulling for, in a sense, when you have bases loaded and one out, and at that point,
you got to punch one across.
You do, besides getting a walk to bring one across. And again, a run's a run, I get that, but somebody has to put a ball in play, in a sense, to be able to clear some of those bases and get some runs. And unfortunately, the Pirates just couldn't quite manufacture those any more than the engineers could. But again, the way that this team is set up, for the Pirates, that when they are able to get those key hits and they play very well defensively, it's just a matter of that pitching. Again, when you give yourself that early deficit, 4-0, it's hard to claw back.
It is, and you also lose it mentally a little bit, because it's always, okay, it's uphill climb the entire way. It's looked like the Pirates had some clean innings after that. The more pressure that the other team's putting on, like I said, they were getting three runners on per inning on an average. I mean, obviously they got runs, so they're probably clearing the bases at some point, but that's just way too many base runners to allow in a game. You're not going to win those contests. That's just looking at it on the simplistic version I can. Walks, I hate a walk worse than anything. If you look at our numbers, we'll talk about those in a minute, but when you get off for free and you score, that's nobody's fault but your own. And I look at a walk, a hit batsman, a passed ball by the catcher on the third strike, whatever the case may be, those are free base runners that didn't do anything really except maybe have a good at-bat to watch the ball. It's just, you just can't walk. You can't get that many free bases. Well, I don't care what league you're playing in. It's just.
Well, and using that game, the Pirates at times were swinging at poor pitches and shouldn't have been, those low pitches. Obviously, when it's released, it looks like it's coming right at you, and all of a sudden it just drops. And at that point, I'm chasing one, and or even some high pitches that are chest high or even above, and you're going after those, realizing that it's still out of that range.
Well, that sounds like what I've been watching out of our girls is pitch selection, not recognizing the pitch when it's thrown.
Right.
Then you have to make a decision at some point. I'm going for this pitch. But it sounds like Estill County's pitchers had a little bit more movement maybe and deceived the Powell County hitters. That's what a pitcher is supposed to do. That's their job. Now, Powell County, on the flip side, has got to do a good job, which looks like I said, the strikeout total was actually pretty good on the Pirates side. They struck out a lot of batters. But I don't think you can have an even number of walks or strikeouts. I think they asked for the ratio to be 2-1 at least. Some people say 3-1, strikeouts to walks. That's a big number, but again, the free bases just absolutely wear me out mentally. I know we give up some, but when those runners turn around and score, what they do to get on base? You know, you helped them get there.
Right. Well, and what's interesting as well is that, you know, in a lot of these games, the Pirates have been competitive.
Yeah.
You know, we know that in a sense. Now, it goes back to, obviously, you know, when you look at the Fleming County game, which, again, we'll have that on Friday, but when they played last Saturday, they lose 13-3. Now, how are you going to respond this time, right, losing by 10 in a sense, and that was in five innings, so...
Well, in high school baseball, sometimes the pitching doesn't match up well.
Correct.
Because of the rotation that they have to do. You're only allotted so many innings per week. If a kid hasn't got to throw this week and Fleming's got a kind of a stud pitcher and he's not due to throw again until Tuesday or Wednesday, you expect to see him maybe on Friday night, at least for a few innings. That's how baseball's set up. Softball is totally different. But with the baseball set up the way it is, it's based on number of pitches thrown in a game on how long you have to sit out before you come back for the next appearance. And you know, the depth of pitching in this region, we're not as deep as all those teams that are really competitive towards Central or Northern or Western Kentucky. We don't probably have the depth some of the really big teams have. You know, depth of pitching is three studs. You know, that's how you win regional titles, three really good pitchers that are dominant. And that's what the 14th region, I think, lacks overall, is that dominance of pitching depth to be able to really compete at the regional tournament level or at the state tournament level. You just got to have some guys to go in there and throw, you know, three different guys throw and get you wins.
And you're hard-pressed, I think, anymore to find kids who are truly interested in being a pitcher. You know, there's a lot of pressure,
yeah,
right? And there's a lot of skill set involved with the different pitches that you're able to throw, and I think a lot of kids shy away from that because guess what? It's easier and safer to be an infielder or an outfielder than it is to step on the mound and try and, you know, create
but
that craft.
There's also a better risk reward.
Absolutely.
If you're a pitcher who can throw mid-80s, 90s, you're probably going to get an offer somewhere. So, yeah, those kids that can throw that way, they're going on to the next level. You know, kids that are throwing, you know, we talked about this before. Greg Maddox, he was an artist. Randy Johnson was a power pitcher. And that's kind of the old school guys that were power pitchers. You know, Randy Johnson was dominant. Today, everybody throws as fast as Randy Johnson. And people don't even have the pitchers like a Greg Maddox. I'm thinking, what are we thinking? Greg Maddox was an artist. I still think artists will get you out. But people just aren't given that same opportunity as they were years ago. Everybody wants you to throw 97, 98, 99 miles an hour. And that's just tough to do.
Well, we've even talked about this as well, as far as even professionally, going back to the way the old game was, which I prefer, short ball, if you will.
Bunts,
meaning
stolen bases, moving runners over.
That's exactly right. Bunts, stolen bases, advancing runners. I enjoy that game more because, to me, it's more exciting and enticing in a sense to be like, all right, you've got a runner on first,
yeah,
right? One out, sending, right? Let's go on, or even a hit and run. You
pressure.
Know, but now, correct. You put a pressure on the other teams, but now all of a sudden it's all about the long ball and the home runs. And yeah, that's all great and everything, but at the same time, I enjoy that other one,
at
you know, the other
at
aspects.
At the professional level, they're getting paid for the home run. At the high school level, I still think you have to add in some small ball because these guys aren't pros. They're probably not going anywhere else but playing high school baseball for the most part. So get done what you got to get done to win your game, regardless what the level is. You know, if we had guys hitting 25 home runs a season, that's a whole different story. That's probably not happening. I mean, if we got a guy here at Powell County that's six, especially at home, that's a heck of a season. You're one of the all-time season leaders in home runs. You know, we play on a pretty big field over here, and there's not a lot of guys I can remember that's hit double-digit home runs in a season. you know, for Powell County baseball. Again, we're playing on a place that's really difficult sometimes to pick up the baseball. It's not a hitter-friendly park. Like I said, the background is better now that they put the black or the green, whatever color it is, in center. That's helped the hitters a little bit. Before, it was the trees, and, man, you're seeing nothing but shadows. So it's a really tough hitter's park, and I don't think you see the same kind of numbers you see other places here at Powell County historically. I'm not just talking about this year's team. But this team, to me, is playing competitive when we thought this was really a rebuild type of year. So they're being more competitive than what I thought would happen. So apparently they're doing some things right. I'm not too worried about the win-loss record, because you're close in the games that you're playing for the most part. If you're in those games, I'm happy with what they're getting done. Because like I said, I think they're still a little down from what they're going to be in a couple of years. Again, it gets back to pitching depth. I don't think we have it right now, to be competitive. But, once we get those younger kids a little stronger, a little bit more mature, a little more developed, and they can throw it a little bit harder, you're more competitive in the game.
Yeah, we've even talked about that as far as even in other sports.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to get stronger in that regard in order to be competitive for those regional titles, if you will. No matter what the sport is, no matter if it's football, and obviously, you know, even Coach Jones last year, they didn't have a lot of time in the weight room. But obviously during the offseason, even those basketball players, if you're not playing baseball at that point, that's where you need to be taking advantage of this offseason time.
Well, you know, I'm really proud of our kids. Football is really working hard right now. Basketball, back in the gym every day, working hard, getting in condition for next year, lifting weights, doing the things they have to do to get better. And we missed those seasons last year for all of our sports because of COVID. So these guys are now getting back in the weight room. That's where the next season starts. And so far, for boys' programs, they're doing a really good job with that. Girls will kick off here pretty soon too. Just not enough of them to get out there and really work hard, but because they play other sports, almost have to. It's really our school, our size. So, go ahead. Got upcoming stuff.
Well, I do. So obviously, the Pirates again to repeat, playing host to Fleming County Friday. Game time is 6:00. We will have that game on WSKV. Then they travel on Tuesday, April 20th, to Wolf County, 5:30 start. Thursday, back at home as they host Bath County, a 5:30 start. And then Friday, the 23rd, they will travel to Lee County, a 5:30 start. And then on Saturday, a doubleheader. They will play Hazard at 11 a.m., and they'll play Rowan County.
Well,
obviously, yes. So, again, a busy schedule coming up. The way it stacks up, we will have, again, Fleming County on Friday. Then we'll be doing the Bath County game on Thursday, and then from there, I'm not quite sure where we'll be as far as the Saturday games, if we'll be able to do either one of those games. But nonetheless, the Fleming County and Bath County Friday and next Thursday.
Yeah, stay tuned here at WSKV. Normally on Mondays, we'll update that schedule. Weather permitting, we'll see what happens with baseball, softball as we go forward. Take a break. Come back and talk about softball here on PCSN Live with Dave again.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
Welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is Dave Fowler along with Ken Simon. We're going to switch gears, talk a little about the yellow ball, the softball, as we will call it here, but a fast pitch softball. So I'll let Ken get started with that wrap up.
So the Lady Pirates actually took off most of spring break.
All of it except Friday, Saturday, right?
Correct, except Friday and Saturday, as they traveled to Hazard on Friday. Ended up dropping that game 11-1 in five innings. And then played Belfry on Saturday. That was a 6-2 loss. And then the Pirates ended up playing Monday the 12th, this 2 days ago. They ended up losing 4-0 in a very competitive game. And then last night, the Lady Pirates ended up playing host to Buckhorn, where they ended up winning 16-1. So let's where you want to start, David?
Well, let's just start where we finished, where we started up last week. Again, we started up with Hazard. It's our first game back in 6 days. I don't think we were ready offensively. I think I made some bad pitch calls to Kelly, so I'm going to blame some of that on me. We only got a couple of hits against Hazard. I was really disappointed with the hits we got, but they do have a young pitcher that's throwing the ball relatively well. They'll be competitive in a lot of games this year. Very athletic team. Like to run the bases. Small ball. Putting a lot of pressure, taking an extra base, doing the little things to get better. And they had a few players that were really capable of doing that. So they did a good job. I'm talking about Hazard of playing that game. Then they hit a home run that really kind of opened that one up there. They just 11-1 in five innings. I was really, I can't say upset, because we just didn't play good offensively. But we made several mistakes. I think a lot of the earns went, a lot of the runs wound up being earned, but there were several issues that were causing that weren't necessarily physical errors. We had some issues where just plays weren't made the right way. We had a couple of errors, a couple of pass balls, but we had some issues that happened that we got to correct. But again, I'll give credit where credit was due. Hazard outplayed us. They out hustled us. They out hit us. And I just give credit to Hazard on that one. Then we go to Letcher Central on Saturday. So get back late on Friday night, get to Letcher and play Belfry. Belfry just came off a 2-1 loss to Letcher. Letcher had beat us 7-1 and 17-0 the week prior. And it was a very good contest. We watched almost all that game. The umpires got there late, so the game didn't start on time. So we really got to watch most of the Belfry Letcher game. And then we played Belfry. They had a really good young pitcher, good rise ball, good fastball. Again, we only got a couple hits. We did get two runs early. We got jumped out to 2-0 lead, and we gave up. We had the lead for three innings, and then we gave up, I think, two or three unearned runs. They wound up getting six. It was a really competitive ball game. Our runs also, I have to say, were unearned as well. Both teams kind of kicked around a little bit in that one, but a 6-2 contest. So a little bit better as far as total game is concerned against Belfry. And then the game on Monday, traveled to Estill. Estill was 9-0. I actually told the girls that let's just try to be competitive as we can. We're likely not going to win this game, but we're going to try. You're never going to say we're going to give up on a game. I'm not that kind of coach that will do that. But I didn't think what I had seen so far out of Estill, You know, I thought going into the season they're probably the best team in the region. A lot of folks in the 14th thought Perry was the best team. Some thought Wolf was the best team. And I kept telling them, I said, I think you're overlooking the folks across the mountain here at Estill. To me, you have to kind of beat the dominant team in the last 15 years, which is Estill County. They are young, no seniors, just juniors and sophomores mainly. But man, Emma Winkle has greatly improved, and she didn't need to improve a lot, but she has improved. Pitched a perfect game against us. They hit the ball okay, but I think we did a really good job of keeping them off balance for the most part. They really only had two hard hit balls. Kelly held them to 8 hits. We made 3 errors. One of those errors didn't hurt us. We actually overthrew first and threw the runner out going to second. So that was really a error, but a result
made up for it.
Made up for it on the out. So defensively, we made some good plays. We had a drop fly ball and another play that should have been made or could have been made. Someone would say should, may not even have thrown her out at first, but you know, when we look back at it, they had one earned run. And this is the same team that has really just obliterated some opponents. Beat Perry 11-1. Beat Wolf 13-0 in 5 innings. Both those games in 5. We went 7 and only gave up 4. I think, really, Kelly Bloom was just amazing for us in the circle on Monday. And I watched the approach of Estill County, and it was very aggressive. They were up there just, they weren't going to wait on a pitch. So we kind of mixed it up with the speeds, threw a lot of off-speed pitches, and I think we kept them off balance pretty good. Now, next time we play, they may adjust and may hit us out of the ballpark. I don't know, but Monday was probably, even in a loss, defensively and pitching was the best game we've had all season. Kelly was just, like I said, she was phenomenal. I think if she missed one spot, that was all she missed for the entire game. She threw it. We're asked her to throw it the entire ball game. And that's something that she's done that a couple times this season. Not got the best results. Now fuss at the teammates. You all are leaving your pitcher hung up to dry, not making plays behind her. But she has done a really good job in the circle. She's developed a couple more pitches, and that's allowed us some freedom to call them. I haven't had the confidence to call them as much as I did on Monday. But I told her today, going forward, expect the arsenal to be thrown at a lot of games because, you know, we're not as fast as a lot of other people are. So we got to mix it up and throw change-ups and drop balls and curve balls, whatever we need to do to mix it up on the batter to make it tough. Being a pitcher, like we just talked about with Greg Maddux, you don't always have to win with power. Sometimes you win with finesse.
So I'm going to kind of act like I'm the interview and have this conversation.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the makeup of your team, though. Like, what do you have as far as a normal rotation, as far as even your field players?
Well, the other night when we played Estill, we were 2 starters down. We've got 1 a starter that's quarantined still from COVID. She doesn't have COVID, but she's been quarantined. She has a contact. Had another player, and arguably one of my best offensive players, Chloe Grater, that was injured in a JV game on Friday. I held her out Saturday against Belfry and Letcher. Held her out last night, even though I think she probably could, or Monday night, I think she probably could have gone. But my mindset before the game was, okay, we're probably going to lose. Why risk further injury to her wrist? But now last night, she took some swings off the tee and convinced me to put her in the lineup last night. So we didn't have her against Estill, but I really like the makeup of our team. We've got a couple kids going to battle out for multiple positions. Really right now I've kind of got set in stone 3 or 4 positions, but the others are kind of battles. I like it a little bit. You know, I've got about 12 to 13 kids that I really think can compete for those 9 spots. So it's going to be who's going to, in the next week, they're going to get opportunities to see who can play those for those 9 spots or 10. Plus, you know, I got to have courtesy runners as well. But we're young. We're veteran. We're older than Estill. Let's put it this way. We're older than Estill, but we're really not as experienced. But we're going to have usually four seniors, starters, two juniors, and the rest sophomores. I got one freshman that's, I believe, will help us compete in the future as a pitcher, but got some good skills otherwise. We got two or three other kids that are throwing the ball that are sophomores. I think they're going to be successful for us in the future. They just got some work to do to get better, pick up a little bit of speed, or just trick batters, whichever one, every way it falls. But we got to get more solid behind the plate. We got to get a little bit more solid with our defense in the infield. Third base has been pretty solid for us most of the season, and that's with two or three players. So it's, I can kind of put either one of them. I got two sophomores that are really playing well at third. Flip a coin. Just put one of them at third, and I may be able to move the other one to the outfield. But we're moving some people around. I've actually started four different catchers so far. That's a tough one to me. I want to find somebody that can play the spot and do the best for the team and figure out who that is going forward. So it'll going to be a battle for the next couple of weeks. So until we get some things lined out, and you got to have some protection for those players because COVID's still around. Who knows? Somebody else comes down, gets quarantined, and somebody else going to get to fill a spot. That's just kind of the way it's going to be.
Now, I did have a chance last night to watch the game against Buckhorn, just kind of as a scouting report, obviously, since we've not covered you all so far. But from what I saw, and realizing that you all had beaten Buckhorn prior to that, but the way that your all's team chemistry was, they, you know, were encouraging, yeah, cheering for each other. You could tell that there's a genuine like amongst themselves. Yes. And it has that positive vibe, if you will, because as long as I've been doing this, and you as well, sometimes you can go to certain teams and you can just feel like, there's not that chemistry or that unity or whatever else, and you can kind of feel dissension, if you will, but yet you could tell that they were having a good time. Yeah. And obviously, you know, when you're winning, you know, when you're winning a game or whatever else, but even before it started, you know, somebody gets on base, you know, they're encouraging, you know, great job, you know, and then the next one, come on, get a base hit, that kind of thing. And when that starts to trickle down and everybody buys into that as being a contributor, obviously that goes a long way as well.
Well, the chemistry, like you mentioned, I think the leadership, Kelly, Maddie, Brandon Berg, Macy Howe when she gets back. Then we've got Mother Keely Anderson. My seniors really have kind of paved the way. You know, and I've got players, Ken Keely, she's got a couple other positions she really likes to play, but she's done a tremendous job for us in left field for year before last. She was really learning a new position, and now I trust her solely with the left field spot. Madison Combs coming in, she really wanted to play third base this year, but I moved her to second. She never said a word. Last night, played her in right field, where she played a couple years ago for us, and did her job, and never said a word. I like the way the kids are approaching the game. The ones that are playing haven't heard a lot of complaints. Obviously, they're playing, but, you know, you don't hear a lot of jealousy or envy. You just, like you said, I think they really do have good team chemistry right now. But we've got some players that are just willing to listen and learn. Desi Plavnik, Alyssa Thorpe, or Tharp, they just, everything we tell them to do, they listen. Cheyenne Gearhart came in. She started out the season 6-for-6. First-time starter. How many people start out 6-for-6? Couple triples, a double. She still leads the team in RBIs. We've kind of gotten her head a little bit about what she can do to get better, and we're kind of resorting back to just go back to what you were doing. You know, you're seeing it, you're hitting it, just see it and hit it. Just do that. You know, and there's some things that, you know, players can fix in their swing. We've done a lot of work on that, and this team has been more receptive to trying to learn than most of the teams I've dealt with. You know, Amelia Trent called me the other day and said, can I try catching? You know, I think it may be something I'd like to maybe try. Sure. I asked Desi a week before, you want to catch? Sure, I'd love to try it. She said, I love it back here. And so there are people that I've kind of, you know, put in those roles. Dakota Hall Place. He's another sophomore. Again, this sophomore class is just really hungry. But they all get along. They all work together. They all do what they're asked to do. And I've got some bench players that are the same way. You teach me, I'll try to learn. And that's fun. And like I said, I think it's pretty good chemistry. We take a travel squad because of COVID. We don't take all the players. It's a kind of a shame. We can't take them all. But, you know, the travel limitations, how many players you can have in a dugout, how many players you can have on a bus, it's just really hard to do. You know, our limitations are less than others. Some people are only traveling 6 or 8 a bus, and they're taking 2 buses. So, you know, that gets very expensive on the district to do that. So, it's a different kind of season, but I really, so far, this team has been really fun to work with. I know we're 2-5. 2-5, but it doesn't feel like we're that kind of record. It feels like we're really getting ready to maybe loosen up. We haven't hit the ball well, you know, other than Buckhorn. We've only scored 4 runs, you know, so the game's in the middle between Buckhorn and Buckhorn. Not much offense, but I really have liked what I've been seeing on defense. We're making less errors now in games than we were making a couple years ago with a really nice-looking lineup. If that makes any sense, we're just making 2 or 3. We were making 4, 5, and 6 before. To me, that's an improvement. So,
well, I think from an observational point of view, obviously having seen, you know, countless teams that you've had over the years, this team seems very relaxed. I don't think they feel any pressure one way or the other. And I think if anything, that probably helps them even going to the Estill game, yeah, in a sense, well, all of a sudden, okay, yeah, we might lose, but guess what? Let's just go have fun and see what
we
have.
But there was no pressure on that game whatsoever for us.
Correct,
because
right.
Because the expectations for me weren't like, okay, we're going to go over here and just pound Estill. That was never our mindset. It's never our mindset with Estill anyway. Our mindset with Estill is, if we can stay close long enough, we may have an opportunity somehow. But I got to give credit to Evan Winkle. Pitched a perfect game against us over there. 17 strikeouts. That was a dominant performance. We had really no chance offensively. But defensively, and our things that we can control, I was very pleased with the performance. Offensively, we'll try to get better. And we've had a batting cage or a pitching screen has been removed from. It's lost somewhere in outer space. Haven't located it. We are still in search of, but it's really limited our ability to hit off the machine to simulate faster pitching. Got a new one ordered today. Hopefully that one shows up, but it hasn't in the last first 3 weeks. So it's really kind of hamstrung us because it went missing. So we're in search of our screen, but probably ordered a new one. Should be in next week. But still, that goes another week without, you know, normally I'm a pitch machine guy. We hit a lot of balls off the machine. And I think our performance will get better once we have that other tool. But we've done a lot of T work, a lot of drills that will help, I think, our overall hitting toward the end of the season.
And obviously being limited in a sense, even as far as being able to get started,
yeah,
you know, having to practice indoors in a sense, even based on the weather.
And COVID causes issues with that because you can't be all bunched up, you know. You got to be careful. If you bring 20 in and you got a lot of downtime with BP, I'd rather bring 10 or 11. Like today we had, I think, 11 people come to practice, and I know the other ones are not there. We'll have a day maybe in the future where the other ones come in. You know, it just, you can't hardly risk everybody clustering up at the cage. It brings possible issues into play.
Right, which is unfortunate. But anyway, I'll wrap it up this way in a sense, is that because your team is very relaxed, because they don't necessarily feel the pressure, to me, they're in a better position to win and or lose, that they take a loss and it's like, okay, we lost, but next game up, right?
Right.
As opposed to harping, yeah, on that loss and letting it truly affect you, that you're sitting there at 2-5. It's just like, we're 2-5. Okay, and, right, let's go on to the next game and keep getting better.
Every player is taking their own responsibility in the losses.
That's what it takes.
And I have been, like I said, this is a group where if you would tell me we're 2-5, I probably wouldn't want to believe you, because they don't act like a 2-5 team. If that makes any sense.
And again, as an outsider, looking in, I would agree with you. And I've, yeah, just seen them last night for the first time. So yeah. I will go on here, as they will play tomorrow night, playing host to Nicholas County. Game time at 6. Again, that will be on WSKV. And then Friday, they will travel to Berea to play against the Berea Pirates. And then on Monday, at Jackson County, the 19th. And then Tuesday, Lee County at Powell, April the 20th at 6 o'clock. And then on Thursday, they play host to Owsley County. So back-to-back district games on Tuesday against Lee and then Thursday against Owsley. And then on Monday the 26th, going into that following week, you'll travel to Wolf County.
Yeah, it's next week is a really critical week for us with the two district games coming up. But they are at least on Tuesday, Thursday, space a day out there for Kelly to get a break. It's not like baseball. We got want to spread them out as much, pitch every day. You know, I have space to schedule out, plus openings have come up amongst the schedule. So we do have a couple of cancellations throw out there for you guys if you're listening. You can check the KCC website. They'll be updated probably after tomorrow. But the Berea game on the 21st has been canceled, will not be made up. The Hazard Jackson City game on the 8th
of May.
Jackson City has now moved to the 15th. That'll be a doubleheader with or a triangle with Morgan County. And Hazard has actually been canceled and not be rescheduled to make up due to they had prom on the 8th. So did Jackson City. So we moved them to the 15th. Hazard didn't have another date available, so we couldn't do anything there. So, again, it's the same kind of season sometimes as every year. You know, prom sometimes gets in our way, which we're not playing Saturday. And then on the 21st, our multiple proms we're having, so you know, give those kids their freedom and just, you know, hope nobody has a COVID case somewhere.
You're exactly right. Let's go on and step away here real quick. You're listening to the Pike County Sports Network.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
Attorney Teddy Flint represents people in personal injury cases. Call for a free consultation. Remember, Teddy Flint only gets paid if you do. Attorney Teddy Flint, sponsoring radio broadcast of the Powell County Pirates. This is an advertisement. Court costs may be the responsibility of the client.
Your Stanton Ace Hardware has geared up for the biggest garden season in history. They've been reserving product for months to fulfill all the needs of their wonderful, loyal customers. They have an abundant stock of canning supplies, plants, and seed. Stop by Stanton Ace Hardware for all your lawn and garden needs. They practice safe social distancing, and masks are a must. Ace, the helpful place.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live. We're going to do a little bit different here, I think. We're going to... We ran a little bit long with the others, so we're just going to step away for another break and come back and wrap up all kinds of different stuff here in this last. We'll give you a speed round here on PCSN Live here on WSKV.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protex Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protex Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
Welcome back. Sorry, Dave got a little bit long-winded in the softball portion of that show, so I do apologize for that. But again, we got out while we were going to get out anyway. But real quick, let's go with Ken for a real quick wrap-up on what's going to be on WSKV, either on the PCSN side or even the ECSN side here on sports, if you've got that available.
I do not have that one available as far as the Estill County Sports Network. I will have that next time. I have a paper, and I forgot to bring it in, to be honest with you. So, again, tomorrow night, the Lady Pirates play host to Nicholas County. Game time at 6. So we will have that game for you. And then next week, it's either going to be the Tuesday or the Thursday game, one of the district matchups. It's either going to be Tuesday with Lee or Thursday Owsley. I can't remember which, to be honest with you, just because of the way that the boys' schedule kind of plays out. And obviously,
yeah, what's that date on those games?
For those, yeah. the 20th and the 22nd.
Go ahead.
April 20 and 22nd. So anyway, I can't remember offhand as far as the boys' schedule, what I had actually penciled in.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull that up while you go ahead and go.
Actually, now I'm thinking about it. I think we're doing the Lee game on Tuesday because the boys play host to Bath County on Thursday.
Makeup game.
Correct. Yeah. Now I'm thinking about it. We'll have the Lee County game, Lady Pirates, and then on Thursday it'll be Bath County on the 22nd, coming to Powell County.
Yeah, again, you know, these matchups, big next week for softball. And every matchup right now for both of us, baseball and softball, are big because we need to start getting some wins and under both our hats on both programs, baseball and softball. I think Frank and I are a little bit similar as far as it's kind of a youth experience here. We're trying to get some kids more experience as we go forward. Didn't get last year in. And again, hopefully at the end of the season, we're battling out for a district championship, or at least trying to get to the regional tournament. We did get this news today that Powell County will be hosting, I believe, the district tournament and the regional tournament for softball. But we will be hosting district for baseball and softball this year at Powell County. Owsley County has passed on their turn, so it will come here to Powell and for baseball and softball.
And we will try, if we can, we'll reach out to boys baseball coach Frank Spencer, see if we can't have him on next Wednesday to kind of talk about where things are, as getting an inside perspective from the head coach of the boys.
Always an easy interview, Frank is. He's always willing to speak to us. Again, if they don't have anything scheduled, we'll have to kind of see. Wednesday, I think, is their rain date for district games. I don't think they've missed any. But if they do miss one, that's probably the date they would schedule to play. So keeping us busy here on WSKV.
You're exactly right. Let's switch to what you want to go MLB and talk about your Reds.
Hey, I want to talk about the Reds, but
I don't want to. But I feel obligated to help you out.
They got beat last night, 7-6. Don't know the score today.
I was getting ready to try and pull it up here. I think they play the Giants.
Playing right now. I know they're. I was listening to it as it come in, and Johnny Cueto, former Red, is pitching against the Reds, or was pitching against the Reds today. Usually when I pop up ESPN, and mine won't load. I get your problem now. Mine won't
right.
load. Ken's never loads when he comes into the studio.
Actually, the Giants won 3-0.
Now, there you go. They shut out today. So, back-to-back pitchers, Kevin Gausman yesterday, former Red. Johnny Cueto today, former Red. Beat the Reds. I'm sure they're happy campers out in San Francisco.
So, let's recap the Central. The Reds at 7-5 in first. The Brewers tied 7-5. The Cardinals 6-6,
right there,
one game behind. The Cubs 5-7, 2 back, and the Pirates 4-7, 2.5 back.
That's a surprise. Pirates being 4-7, they're right in the mix, really, and they're supposed to be the worst team in baseball, right?
Yeah, this early, and obviously, I mean, in many respects, the teams out west are just loaded, right? The Dodgers,
Padres
9-2, Padres 8-4, the Giants 8-4. The Padres and Giants a game and a half back of the Dodgers. And then, you know, not really necessarily a surprise going on as far as the NL East. The Mets, Phillies, Marlins, Braves, and Nationals.
Good luck, everybody.
Yeah, correct. That's going to be very competitive. But,
yeah.
But in one hand, they're not very good.
Well, the winner of that division may just be a touch over 500 because
correct.
The battle they're going to have within the NL East,
yes,
everybody's going to be competitive.
Agreed.
You know, in the West, you've got three teams competitive, but you got two studs at the top of the NL West. You got the Dodgers and the Padres. Tatis has been out a little while now, but again, that's a whole different story. But, man, them Dodgers are just flat-out loaded, buddy.
Yes, they are. And even in the Central, but to me, year in and year out, the Cubs are seemingly down. But I think on one hand, I like the fact that there's been a shift, if you will, in the Central, and I think it's good for baseball. Again, I am not a Reds fan, but the fact that the Reds are competitive, I think is good for Major League Baseball.
Well, it's good for – I like the Reds. But, you know, when you've got a team like the Dodgers, it's almost like everybody else has kind of given up. With the team they have, with three aces, three guys that have won Cy Youngs, plus guys that are going to win Cy Youngs, man, you can just kind of forget playing against the Dodgers. Go and give them their tickets to the World Series and maybe give them another trophy.
Right.
They're good.
Yes.
They're really good.
I would agree with that. You're exactly right.
All right. Good. Thanks for listening to us here tonight on PCSN Live. Again, this is Dave Fallon with Ken Simon. Tune in tomorrow night, WSKV coverage of the Powell County softball game with Nicholas County.
And Friday.
Friday at the baseball game with Fleming County. So tune in. Stay tuned here to WSKV. You'll learn a lot, I'm sure. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast.
Like WSKV FM.